Somebody is calling our name. Do we know his voice? The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Somebody is calling our name. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful piece. What a beautiful reminder of the one who is calling our name. Today we have been reflecting on this image of Jesus as shepherd through scripture and music and visual images. And as I have been thinking over these past few days about Jesus as our shepherd, one of the things that has repeatedly come to my mind, much to Chris's dismay, is a song that I remember singing as a child at church camp and vacation Bible school that says, "I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep." Unfortunately, I could not convince Chris to let us sing that this morning, although that piece was more inspiring, I will admit. But that song illustrates how prevalent this image of Jesus as our shepherd is for the Christian community. If you don't know that song, you probably know other songs, or you remember those Sunday school images of Jesus as a shepherd holding a lamb around his neck, like our shepherd figurine on the altar table, or cradling a sheep in his arms. These images of Jesus as a shepherd are very familiar images to the Christian community. And that points to how prevalent this statement has become over 2,000 years after Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." This "I am" statement is still so much a part of our understanding of Jesus that we see this image in many different places. Jesus as a shepherd is probably one of the most recognized images of Jesus. This "I am" statement is probably one of the most familiar ones. And while the image of Jesus as a shepherd is a very familiar image, we are probably less familiar with the context in which Jesus first spoke these words, "I am the good shepherd." The Gospel of John often follows a pattern of describing a miracle of Jesus, a sign, and then having a dialogue where people are discussing what happened and what this means, and then having a discourse that Jesus delivered explaining some of the interpretation behind this sign. And so we see repeatedly in John this pattern of sign, dialogue, discourse. And this discourse on the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 is part of that pattern, and it continues the pattern that started in chapter 9. And so in John chapter 9, we have the sign, the miracle of Jesus healing the man born blind. And then we have a dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees and the blind man and the blind man's parents about what happened, who did this, and how did he have the power to do this. And then in chapter 10, we have this discourse. And so you may not have connected Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd," to the story of the man born blind, but it is part of that sequence. It is part of that story. And so when Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd, this is Jesus's interpretation of his healing of the man born blind. And so to help us put all those pieces together, I want to read part of the dialogue that happens at the end of chapter 9. So at the beginning of John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind, and then there is this dialogue about it, and the dialogue ends with this. In John chapter 9, beginning in verse 39, Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not the blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." And so then, as a further explanation, Jesus launches into this discourse that we find in John chapter 10, describing his relationship with people and with God. John chapter 10 is the discourse that follows the sign and the dialogue of John chapter 9. So he is interpreting this miracle. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. A good shepherd takes care of his sheep. If a sheep is hurt, the shepherd takes care of the sheep, like Jesus took care of the blind man. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold," Jesus says. The blind man, whom the Pharisees consider to be a sinner, an outsider, is seen by Jesus as a sheep, as one of his own flock. "My sheep listen to my voice," Jesus says, suggesting that the religious leaders who are not listening to Jesus' voice are perhaps the true outsiders, are perhaps not part of his flock. At the end of John chapter 9, after the healing of the man born blind, Jesus suggests that the Pharisees are the ones who are actually blind. And then in chapter 10, he's implying that since they are not listening to Jesus' voice, they are not part of his flock. This is part of Jesus' great reversal. The ones who are so certain that they are right, that they are in with God, that they have the best understanding, the best vision, are actually mistaken. Rather, it is the humble, the ones who are all too aware of their own shortcomings, of their own limitations, of their own sin, that Jesus calls my sheep, and to whom Jesus says, I am your shepherd. Now, the Pharisees would have been familiar with this image of God as a shepherd, and so for Jesus to claim that he is the good shepherd was yet another example of Jesus claiming a relationship with God that made the Pharisees very uncomfortable. Hear these words from Ezekiel chapter 34, words that bear striking similarity to Jesus' words in John chapter 10. Ezekiel 34 begins with this. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought out the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. And then going down to verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And then Ezekiel 34 ends with this verse, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord God. So this image of God as a shepherd, of God as a shepherd who truly cares for the sheep, would have been familiar to the Pharisees. So not only is Jesus aligning himself with God as the true shepherd, the good shepherd who cares for Israel, but Jesus seems to be implying, perhaps even saying outright, that others who are tasked with caring for the people are not doing these things, that they are instead behaving like a hired hand rather than like a shepherd who is genuinely invested in the flock. In Ezekiel, we hear this clear distinction between how God as a shepherd interacts with the people and how these other shepherds have acted. Jesus makes a similar distinction, calling himself the good shepherd and calling those other so-called shepherds hired hands. The Pharisees have a pretty good idea of where Jesus thinks they fit into all of this. And it is no wonder that they do not have much appreciation for Jesus' teachings. One of the verses in John chapter 10, which seems to sum up Jesus' discourse, is verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In some ways, this sounds different from the description of God as a shepherd in Ezekiel 34, because in Ezekiel, God the shepherd is a rescuer. He is the hero. He comes in and picks up the weak and takes care of them and does all of these things to protect the sheep from harm and to take care of them. But In John, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. One who loses his life, one who gives his life to protect others, sounds like a victim, like a martyr, like one whose life is taken unfairly. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The laying down of his life is an active decision Jesus makes, one that the good shepherd freely makes, not one that is forced upon him. In John's version of the arrest of Jesus in John chapter 18, Jesus is not captured. There is no account of the kiss of Judas in John to let the arresters know which one he is. Instead, the way John tells the story, Jesus comes forward and asks them, "Whom are you looking for?" And when they say, "Jesus of Nazareth," he readily responds, "I am he." He gives himself over. Jesus willingly gives his own life. No one takes it. No one demands it. John does not portray Jesus as a victim. This is an active decision the shepherd makes to protect the sheep, a decision Jesus freely makes. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And notice that the sheep here is referred to in a more general way, the sheep, rather than specifically the sheep belonging to the shepherd. And so Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, not the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And so Jesus is speaking of the sheep as all of the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for all of the sheep because a good shepherd cares about all of the sheep, not just the ones that have always belonged to him, not just the ones that have always been a part of his flock. Jesus says, the good shepherd's flock is wider and more diverse than some may expect. In verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, at this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus has not talked much about his death. That's coming later. This is the last public discourse in the Gospel of John. Later in John, much of Jesus' words are directed specifically to his disciples. But this teaching, I am the good shepherd, is for everyone to hear. For followers, for would-be followers, for the vaguely interested, for the dissenters, for the critics, for the enemies, to all of these, Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is saying, if you think you are an outsider, there is room for you in this flock. Jesus is also saying, if you think you are already in the flock and that you know or can control who else is in the flock, then you may be surprised. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. All who listen to the voice of Jesus are part of his flock. This image of Jesus as a shepherd has significantly shaped our understanding of who Jesus is and also of our own role in Jesus' kingdom and in Jesus' ministry. We even see this image reflected in our understanding of church leadership because we see church leaders as ones who are called to lead in the image of Jesus, to be shepherds because Jesus is a shepherd. As you may know, we are currently in the process of selecting deacons to serve in our church. And in our church's bylaws, the very first sentence in the section about deacons reads, "The purpose of the deacon council is to serve as under-shepherds of the church." This understanding of the role of deacons as being like shepherds comes from this image of Jesus as a shepherd. Even the word pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. One of the things I love about the Spanish language is that the Spanish word for pastor, pastor, is the same as the word for shepherd. And so in Spanish-speaking congregations today, they call their pastor literally shepherd. It's the same word, pastor. The ministry of pastoral care, of caring for the needs of the congregation, is also rooted in this imagery of shepherd. This idea of church leaders as shepherds can be traced to other New Testament passages, but here in John chapter 10, that has not yet been introduced. There is no mention here of co-shepherds or assistant shepherds or under-shepherds, but in this passage, Jesus is the only shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd. We, all who hear and respond to Jesus' voice, are the sheep. Being a deacon or a pastor or any other church leader does not mean that we cease being sheep. We do not graduate from sheep status to shepherd status. We are still sheep. We all are sheep, and we all are in need of our good shepherd. In the phrase, the good shepherd, that word good could also mean true or model. So the idea is that Jesus is the best kind of shepherd. The best version of what a shepherd can be is the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. In the Book of Common Prayer, there's this beautiful prayer meant to be prayed after someone has died. And it includes these words. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. We all are sheep. We all are sinners. In recognizing our role, our position as sheep to Jesus, our good shepherd, our limitations, in listening to the voice of our shepherd, and in acknowledging that only Jesus is the true shepherd, we become a part of his flock. Jesus is calling our name. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. They know my voice. May we recognize the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, and may we respond as Jesus calls. Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you call our names, that you call us to follow you, and that you invite us to be a part of your flock. We thank you, God, that your grace is wide and deep. We thank you that you offer forgiveness for whatever is in our past, for whatever we think may keep us from being in your flock. You, God, forgive us. And you remind us that there are other sheep that are part of your flock, maybe ones that make us uncomfortable, or ones that we don't understand, but you tell us that your flock is wider than we might expect, and you promise that if we listen to your voice, we are part of your flock. Help us, God, to listen to your voice. Help us to recognize that you indeed are our good shepherd, that you provide what we need, that you take care of us when we are injured, that we can trust you. We pray, God, that we, like sheep, will rest in the arms of our shepherd, that we will rest in knowing that our shepherd knows what is ahead. Our shepherd is looking ahead for us and looking around for us. Our shepherd can see things we cannot see, and our shepherd will carry us through. May we trust you, God. May we listen to your voice, and may we respond to you as you call. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. As we sing our hymn of response this morning, we'll be singing hymn number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness, as we sing about the faithfulness of God, our good shepherd, of Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. As we sing, I'll be here at the altar table, and I would welcome the opportunity to hear from you. If you have something on your heart you would like to share with me or with our church family, I would welcome the opportunity to pray with you and to hear from you. How is Jesus, the good